Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. You are listening to Pagan Spirituality Today. This is episode number 11. I am your host, Kveldrida. Thanks a lot for tuning in today. Today is June the 14th, by the way. It is a Sunday. It has been just over a month since I last published a show. There are a number of reasons for that long delay. I've had some problems with illness. I have a sleep disorder, and it has been giving me a terrible time lately. But nonetheless, I am back and here to bring you another show. Today's music, by the way, comes from the album Putumayo Presents Women of the World Celtic No. 2. The opening song was The Drunken Piper by Natalie McMaster. And today's closing song will be Home Again in Ireann by Sharon Murphy. Since I have had such a difficult time putting a show together, I have sat down to do this three times before now. And I've had microphone problems, computer problems, and a general lack of concentration that has been really getting in my way. I was starting to feel kind of desperate about getting a show out. It's important to me, and I did want to do it. But it's been very, very frustrating. Since episode 10 aired, I've had a number of comments left on the Podbean site by Somber Sky, by Ginger, by Mike, and Stephanie. I actually want to read you Ginger's comment on the site because it's interesting. She commented to episode number 7, which is Everyday Distraction, and Ginger says, "When I start to slack in my spiritual life, I start to see spiders everywhere." And that's a pretty unusual thing. I haven't heard about that before. "They are a sort of messenger or reminder from the goddess that I need to get back on track. This is a pattern in my life that I wanted to share with you. The spiders are never the poisonous variety or aggressive, but they show up in odd places, like on my computer screen at work, or on my car window, or wherever I happen to be. I usually try to capture the spider and take it outside if we are not already there, as I believe them to be sacred messengers. And lately, it's not just the live variety either. I work in a library, and just this week I saw a book cover featuring a large spider. I don't consider this a problem. I see it as a divine messaging system. It's kind of cool. And I also make sure to thank the goddess for gently nudging me back on track." That is a very unusual pattern that she has there, the spider intervention pattern. But she's not the only person that I've spoken to or that I've known that has noticed patterns like this in their lives. When things are going a certain way, something happens, and it's consistent. It is reliable. And I found that really interesting. I'm glad that she shared that, and I wanted to share it with you. I am interested in what patterns you've noticed about your own life, good, bad, or indifferent. All right, let's see. I've also received some new emails since the last show. I'm going to read one of them, which comes from Melissa, and I have a little bit more to say about Melissa after I read you the email. She says, this came in off of Facebook, by the way, "Hey, Kveldrida, I really wanted to thank you for what you said about drawing attention to yourself by making offerings. I apologize, I don't remember the exact episode as I listened to them all in one shot. I run a group for pagan families with small children, along with the folks from Pagan Parents on the Edge. We celebrate Sabbats designed for kids. Most of these include some kind of offering to be made to various deities or spirits. Our big deal ritual is Imbolc. We light a big bonfire and the kids all bring bride's gifts, or breed's gifts. At the close of the circle, we toss the basket into the fire. My oldest child, who is almost 7, is into fire and fire deities in a big way. This holiday is especially sacred for him. He takes great care in choosing what to offer Breed or Bridget. Well, last year he ran out to the circle garden the following morning and was disappointed to find his gift in the ashes. His gift was made of metal. He didn't understand why the goddess did not want it. I was at a loss for words. In my own mind, I knew how these things work, but I couldn't put it into words for my son. I told him to leave it on the altar and maybe she would get it later. Now, using your words, I'm able to explain to my kids how the effect of an offering is sufficient. It lets the gods know you're thinking of them. Kind of, it's the thought that counts. Melissa. Okay, and the thing that's interesting about Melissa, beyond that she's an intelligent person and wrote me an email, as she stated, she is part of the family coven that Fox and Arwen are in Fox and Arwen from Pagan Parents on the Edge. And actually, Oni and I know Melissa, although I never knew her very well. Oni knew her somewhat, and she was a well-known figure in the pagan community where we used to live. And it's funny that she found the show and she listens to the show, and at some point she realized that it was us producing the show. She is the only person I know who has found the show and listened and actually knows who we are, someone we have met in real life, but was not brought to the show by us. I got a big kick out of it. Anyway, as usual, you can join me at Facebook, on MySpace, although I am seriously considering dropping the MySpace page. There is basically no traffic there. I am also on Pagan Space under Kveldrida, Kveldrida, and I've started my own Pagan Space group called Pagan Spirituality Today. It's a moderated group. It's for folks that listen to the show. The big reason I started it was I wanted more courtesy and respect. I read a lot of forums. I belong to 6 or 7 groups on Pagan Space. Far too often, things degenerate into name-calling and just vitriol. When people are having simple disagreements, very simple issues. I do it like this, you do it like that, I feel this is true, you feel that is true. People have lost, in my view, the capacity to have a dialogue that does not turn into an argument, at least online. And that brings me to my first topic for today. It's going to be a bit of a miscellaneous show. As I said, I've had a difficult time this last month, and I don't have a single thing that I want to talk about. I have a couple of little things that I've been mulling over, and I'm just going to get those out of the way before we move on to another large-scale topic. What I want to say is kindness and courtesy seem to be in trouble online. Now, I also agree they seem to be in trouble in real life as well. But I'm talking predominantly about online right now at this moment. It is so simple when you feel anonymous, when you feel no one is going to track you down or no one is going to hold you accountable, to behave in a way that you would not do in person. I get that. I understand that that temptation is there. But is that who we want to be? I'm asking a simple question based on how do you view yourself. What is the story you tell to yourself about who you are? Does it include you being a jerk online? Does it include you being completely rude and discourteous to people that you do not agree with? Is that the story you tell yourself? Or is it, because these things happen online, they're not real? You do not hold yourself accountable, as well as assuming others cannot or will not. It is very disturbing to me that people cannot have a conversation about differences without it turning into an argument or some kind of name-calling. There's something wrong with that. There is something wrong with that level of discussion and conversation. Obviously, I'm not telling anyone anything they didn't know. We've all complained about this before, I suppose, at one time or another. And people complain about intellectual rigor and flights of fantasy and people seeming less connected to reality online in general. And perhaps all of that is true. I'm not making a judgment one way or the other. I'm simply saying, even when you don't agree, even when you think someone is full of it, how you respond to them, what you say, how you present yourself, should matter to you more than it matters to them. This should be an opportunity to express your inner self. And if your inner self is a curmudgeon, or crabby, or rude, or obnoxious, I suppose that's who you will express. But if that is not who you believe yourself to be, shouldn't you express yourself in the terms that you want to, not necessarily in the terms that frustration or anger of the moment allow you to? It's a thought. I'm putting it out there. Secondly, emailing, contacting, that sort of thing. I very much appreciate when you folks write me or leave comments on iTunes or Podbean or wherever you contact me. And I am trying to respond to every single person who has written me. Perhaps if you comment a lot, like listener Mike from Washington, I am not necessarily going to respond to you every time you leave a comment, but the first time that you contact me, I will send you an email and talk a little bit about what you had to say and thank you for taking the time to say something. I have emailed a couple of newer podcasters recently and made myself available to some other folks for discussions, what have you, and I haven't received a reply from any of them. And that just throws me, because I would never do that. It just seems like common courtesy. Even if I don't want to have that conversation, or I find that that person's advice is not helpful or what I was looking for, I'm going to say thanks for writing me. I don't think people necessarily intend to be discourteous, but it certainly does happen. So if any of you have commented to me or written to me and I have never responded, you have never heard from me, let me know, because that is definitely an oversight on my part. I did not mean for that to happen. So send me a line. Tell me, hey, I wrote and you never wrote me back. Maybe I never got the message. But I think it's important. There are a lot of times that I think about writing another podcaster or talking to another person. And you know how it is. You say, well, I really want to give them my two cents about this topic. And you never get around to it. Things get in the way. I think even a 30-second email that someone sits down and actually writes and sends deserves a response from me. So the second thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit is change, spiritual change. As I said, I've been going through some health issues and other problems in the last month, and it has caused me or is coinciding with a spiritual change that I am going through. I'm not going to talk about what is changing about me in today's show. I want to talk more about the process of change. Tell me if this is true in your life as it is in mine. Whenever a spiritual change builds up momentum, and I am fighting that change off, whether I consciously know it or not, circumstances seem to come about where I become overly tired, overworked, just plain exhausted. Currently, it's very easy for this to happen, as I have sleep apnea. It's a sleep disorder which causes me to stop breathing during the night, and I wake up again and again and don't really achieve any rest, any actual sleep. Eventually, I go into clinical exhaustion where I can't stay awake. In the last month, things have gotten quite a bit worse, to the point where I am starting to fall asleep instantly. If I sit down, if I hold still. And another thing that happens if you let this kind of sleep deprivation go far enough is you begin to dream while awake. I don't know if that sounds cool or not. In some ways it is cool. In other ways it's terrible and very scary, because you can't drive a car or do other things when you're that tired. It's simply unsafe. about the time that my exhaustion really started to get going, really became serious, I noticed that I started thinking about a lot of things that I had not thought about in a while. And I noticed I started feeling differently about things I had not re-examined in a while, in my spiritual life, in my emotional life. And at that point I knew whether or not my illness, my exhaustion, was naturally derived or was in some way influenced by spiritual forces, third parties, what have you, it was going to be made useful. What I'm asking is, chicken or the egg? Do I become exhausted, or does life conspire in such a way where I have to work extra hours every day, day after day, so that a spiritual change may be pushed through? Or, when these things happen, as they often do, does your soul, your higher self, your ancestors, your spiritual allies, use the opportunity of your diminished resistance to push change through? This has been the pattern of my life. Exhaustion, circumstances being out of my control, sickness, getting the flu, getting a terrible influenza or something, or a cold that simply will not let go. My major spiritual changes are always preceded by and coincide with something that wears me down and thereby wears down my resistance to the change. Generally, after that change is made, after I find myself integrating the energy of that change, is when I start getting healthy again, start feeling better. Now, mind you, I'm not talking about every cold leads to a spiritual change. This is the kind of thing that happens every other year, every third year, every fourth year, something like that. It's on a cycle, once every 3 to 5 years in my life. Certainly not every illness or every issue has anything to do with this kind of change. But when it does come around, there's always an illness attached. Always some kind of exhausting state that goes with it. I wonder, does everyone else's life work that way? Do you have the kind of tremendous resistance to spiritual change that I do? A lot of times I know what the change is, and I know that it's right, and I know that I need to do it, but I can't get past my own desire to resist, even at the subconscious level. Perhaps I am alone in having resistance to change. I don't think I am, but in case I am, in case you, the listener, have no idea what I'm talking about, there are a lot of things in my life, spiritually, emotionally, that I would like to continue to do. For example, I believe that factory farming, animal factory farming, is a problem. That it is environmentally unsustainable and generally gross. However, I am a meat eater and I do enjoy meat. I don't want to become a vegan or a vegetarian. For years, it was acceptable to me to say, I will join in petitioning for reforming factory farming for environmental reasons, for cruelty reasons, etc. But at this point, I feel like I don't want to participate in that anymore. And there are now sustainable local options. 5 to 10 years ago, unless you lived in a very small number of communities or could afford a much larger budget for your household food, that was not available to you. Today, at least where I live, sustainable chicken farming is available. Grass-fed beef is available, although it costs 2, and in some cases 3 times as much as factory-farmed meat. But I'm okay with that. It's going to be harder to get, and I should be eating less meat anyway. It's going to cost more money, which will necessitate that I eat less of it. But my value in believing that farming and food supplies should be sustainable where possible. And the cruelty factor is a major issue. I have decided that I'm going to try, at least for the packaged meats that we bring home, for them to be sustainable. The kind of industrialized cruelty that we find in factory farming is not something I want to be a part of anymore. That is a spiritual change, an emotional change, that came upon me on its own. It was fine to live with the dichotomy of believing that factory farming was wrong, but still eating that same meat that was available in my store. I'm not that concerned about the health benefits of organic, by the way. I know a lot of people believe that the health benefits are gigantic. I'm not convinced of that, honestly. And clearly, if you have a very limited budget, buying sustainable might be out of reach for you. And I do not and will not blame anyone for continuing to support factory farming, if that is how you can afford to spend your food dollar. I'm not on a soapbox with this issue. It's just something that has struck me in a very personal way that I found easy to put off or shunt aside for a long time, and I don't now. It is simply unavoidable now. That's an example of a change that I didn't really want to make, per se. I was not trying to make this change. It is something that came up from an inner recess of myself and presented itself whole and said, you need to stop doing this. Believing A but doing B is causing you unnecessary psychic distress, spiritual distress. You must put your beliefs more in line with your actions. And so I'm going to try, and I don't know how well I will succeed, but we'll see. That's the kind of change that I'm talking about, where your beliefs, your core inner truths, are out of line with your actions. In those cases, what happens to you? How does that process work for you? How does change work? Also, maybe your core beliefs need to change. There was a time when I believed that all gods were faces of a singular god and all goddesses were faces of a singular feminine divinity. I don't believe that now, but that changed through my own personal experience. I did not intellectually decide that that would change. Living day to day, the life that I do changed that. I don't remember ever deciding that I don't believe in the singular god and goddess theory anymore. It just came up one day that through my experience, I had made this change and I had not noticed it. That is the kind of spiritual and emotional change that I'm going through now. But the process can be difficult and rather slow and mysterious. It's not really entirely clear what is changing while it's happening. It's more a feeling. I find that I integrate those changes after the fact. They are me. Something is not affecting me from the outside. I am changing, but I am changing at a deeper level of consciousness than I have regular access to. If I were to meditate more regularly, or in other ways communicate with my spiritual allies more regularly, I think I could see these things coming better. I think I could understand them better during the process. But I'm a lazy pagan. I'm a lazy person in a lot of ways, and I work too much and take too little time for myself. So, my higher self, if you will, or my ancestors, whomever is behind these things, takes advantage of the openings available to them to push things through. Basically, that is all I had to say today about my topics. I have had some very nice comments about show number 10, the episode with my friends Ivaldi, Golden Bird Rising, and of course my wife Oni. I want to thank all three of them again for coming into the studio and sharing some of their lives with you. I really enjoyed doing that show. I will be doing a separate interview with Golden Bird Rising and another one with Evaldi in the coming months, hopefully by the end of the summer. They have some interesting and unique traditions that they practice, and I would like to bring some more about that to you. The Ghost Show is still coming down the pike. I have a number of stories now. I don't know if it's 8 or 10. I can't remember, but there is some of it recorded. It needs editing. It needs some other things added. I'd say that show is probably 30% done. I'm in no particular rush to get that done. If people decided to send in ghostly experiences at the last minute, I'm going to include them, really right up to the day that the show is completed in its editing. I would include your stories if you decided to write in. So feel free if you've been holding back. I don't care if that show goes 2 hours, if it has to be split into two. I think in the end people will enjoy the final product, so I am willing to take my time with it. I have a number of other things on my mind as far as topics go for following shows. However, that doesn't mean I don't want to hear what you have to say. If there are topics that have really been on your mind or things you really want to know what I have to say about it, you can, of course, email me and we'll have a private conversation, or you can send it in as a topic idea and I will think about doing a show. Actually, I am going to be doing a show on spirits in the coming days, as was suggested to me by a listener. I believe that was Ginger, my librarian friend from the Bay Area. She sent me an email asking me to share more about my relationship to spirits, since I talk about them a lot. And I thought that's a good idea. That will be coming down the pike. If you have anything to say about spirits or ancestors or relating to them, send me an email. Maybe it will make it into the show. I want to thank my wife, Oni, for helping me work out my technical issues, finally allowing me to get a show put down, edited, and sent out. It won't be a month for episode number 12, I'm sure. I have been feeling much better. Things will hopefully get back to 2 shows per month, at least in July. I don't know if there'll be a second show in June. Next week is the solstice. I hope all of you have a wonderful holiday. You get an opportunity to do ritual or to share time with friends and family. I'm not sure what we're going to be doing this year yet. We here in Southwest Washington are having a very gray and cool summer. We usually do, but it seems grayer in the last couple of weeks. Does not feel like summer solstice here, although it is light until nearly 10 o'clock at night. But we'll do something. We will find some way to express ourselves, and I hope that you do the same. I haven't said this in a while. You can find me at Podbean, iTunes, Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, of course at Proud Pagan Podcasters. Speaking of Proud Pagan Podcasters, I forgot to mention I was reviewed or referenced by Dave at PCP, that's the Pagan Centered Podcast. Dave also is an important figure over at Proud Pagan Podcasters. I want to thank him for reviewing my show, for mentioning me. Several of his listeners, their listeners, there's 4 people that host PCP. Several of their listeners have become my friends at Pagan Space or Facebook. They have mentioned that my show was reviewed positively at PCP. I appreciate that. And I also thank you for running the Proud Pagan Podcasters listing site. Oh, and I want to say hi to Brooke, by the way. I enjoyed the newest episode. I always do. Brooke is one of the only shows that I listen to consistently other than Pagan Parents on the Edge. And while I'm mentioning Pagan Parents on the Edge, Melissa, my emailer, was interviewed in the most recent episode of Pagan Parents on the Edge. So you actually can hear a lot more about her and her relationship to Fox and Erwind if you listen to their most recent show. Okay, that's going to do it for me, everybody. I want to say blessings to you, and may your ancestors, gods, and spirits always protect you and be with you. Thanks a lot.